When our Lord entered into our world 2,000 years ago, he chose to be born in poverty. He chose to not have any wealth, no fancy clothes. He was born in a cave out in the field, and he had to do hard manual labor to earn a living, you know, as a carpenter following the trade of St. Joseph. But the one thing that he did choose to have was a loving family. He deprived himself of a lot of things, but he did have a family. After he was born, he was cradled in the loving arms of his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And even though he had no biological father, you know, since he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, he still chose to have a foster father, St. Joseph. And so our Lord, you know, kind of went out of his way to make sure that he had a mother and a father. And so he would grow up under the care of our Blessed Mother and St. Joseph. And they were the ones who taught him their manners, customs, religious practices, prayer, and a trade. He learned all those from his parents. And so I think that's an interesting point to reflect upon, how our Lord rejected so many things that the world can offer, but he did will to have a family. And why is that? And I'm sure there's a number of reasons. Part of it is because, you know, the Holy Family is our family as well. And so he wanted to provide a family not only for himself, but for the whole church. And I think another element is that in God's wisdom, the family is an indispensable part of his plan of salvation. The family has a critical role. You know, the family is the most fundamental building block of the church. All of us come from a family. You know, no one gives themselves life. No one raises themselves as an infant. We're all dependent upon others. And while none of our families are perfect, at the same time, you know, building strong families and supporting strong families is very important for God's plan of salvation. And so as we look at the culture around us, because so many people are rejecting God's laws, there's been a massive breakdown of the family structure. And that's caused so much pain to husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, and to children. You know, we see things like the widespread acceptance of cohabitation before marriage. You know, that's not a good foundation for a marriage. And, you know, if people are violating God's laws before marriage, they're going to do the same thing within marriage. You know, we see in our culture a glorification of lust and pornography. You know, when vices are glorified, people become trapped in their own selfishness, and they're not able to do the will of God because they're enslaved to their own desires. You know, we see attacks against the sacredness of life with abortion and contraception that have become widespread and accepted. And we see some people going so far as to try to redefine marriage and gender. But the problem is, if we reject the very truths of human nature and we live in a way that's in opposition to who we are, that's not going to lead to happiness. It's only going to lead to a life of perpetual frustration and ultimately to despair. And so as we look at the Holy Family, we see something very different. And one of the things one of the virtues that we can see that jumps out in today's gospel is the virtue of obedience. Obedience to God's will. And so when we look at the Holy Family, I want to highlight a few different characteristics. And the first thing is that their lives were centered on prayer. Even before the Annunciation, the Blessed Virgin Mary was praying fervently for the coming Messiah and for the mother who would bring the Messiah into the world. And so before she even knew that she was the one chosen for that role, she was fervently praying for God's plan to come about, because she wasn't concerned with herself and her own desires in life. She was concerned about the fulfillment of God's plan. And so when the Archangel Gabriel appeared to her, she discovered that she would be the one who would bear the Christ child. But in a sense, she was prepared, because she was so focused and so conformed to the will of God that she had the courage and the strength to say, "Yes, let it be done unto me according to your word." And we see the same thing with St. Joseph. You know, St. Joseph, in a dream, was told to take Mary as his wife. And we can imagine how daunting that would have been to be the guardian of the Holy Family, you know, to be entrusted with God incarnate and the Blessed Mother. You know, that's setting a pretty high bar. That would have taken a lot of courage. But he did it because he was focused on doing the will of God. And so, you know, one of the things that's important for our families, and one of the things that we can highlight as being critical, is the role of prayer. And not just reciting prayers, but truly being open to the will of God and seeking His will and not our own will within our lives. You know, that's going to be the critical foundation of a holy family and a happy family, is when the parents are truly and authentically striving to know the will of God and to follow that. You know, we see that also with welcoming life within marriage. You know, that's part of the marriage vows, to be open to life. And so often in our culture, people reject the gift of life. But we as Christians welcome new life, because children, as the church teaches, are the crowning glory of a marriage. And so we welcome life, and every child that's part of our parish, we love and we accept, and they're a gift to us. Every child that's with us in the pews, you know, we love them and we cherish them. And so as Christians following God's will, we have an openness and a respect for the sanctity of life. Another aspect that we can see in the Holy Family is obedience to the rituals and the moral precepts that were taught. You know, we see in the gospel that they went to the temple to offer the sacrifice that was prescribed. So with the firstborn child, you know, the Jewish laws said that they had to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice, and they did just that. And so another element that's important is the worship of God every Sunday. And this is, again, something that a lot of people are not necessarily committed to, but it's a critical building block. You know, coming to Mass every Sunday isn't necessarily going to instantly fix every problem in our lives. But because that's God's law, it's critical in order for a family to flourish in their vocation to be respectful and obedient to that. If a family isn't coming to Mass every Sunday, then they're living in a way that's in opposition to God's laws, and so their vocations aren't going to flourish. But what happens when people are committed to Sunday Mass, when they are committed to a life of prayer? What happens is God's grace begins to infuse into the family on a deeper and a deeper level, and virtues are going to come about from that. You know, virtues that are critical for a happy family life, like fidelity, like patience and forgiveness. It's hard to forgive others. It takes a lot of humility. But people who have a deep life of prayer and who are seeking the will of God on a regular basis, like Saint Joseph and the Blessed Mother, when people do that, and combined with the grace of the sacraments, virtues are going to flourish within their family. And what we'll see is a family life where, out of humility, people are quick to say they're sorry when they're wrong. People who are quick to forgive each other. People who show mercy to each other within the family unit. And so the widespread rejection of faith has led to a disintegration within the family unit. But when people do turn in prayer and seek to be obedient to the will of God, those virtues that can heal the family unit begin to flourish. And so, you know, as we look at family life within our own families, within our parish, I think there's a few questions that that parents can ask themselves for self-reflection. And first, do we have a consistent and meaningful life of prayer, where we're not just reciting prayers, but where we're honestly and sincerely seeking the will of God, to know His will and to follow it generously? Secondly, are we fulfilling the obligations to God through Mass attendance and by following the precepts and the laws of the church surrounding marriage? You know, these are things that are the building block to have a flourishing family life. And third, you know, what virtues are we nurturing, or do we need to nourish within our family in order for charity and mercy to flourish within our own families as we see it flourish within the Holy Family? And so as we honor the Holy Family on this feast day today, we pray also for our own families, that we may always strive to do God's will, and that the faith might be alive and vibrant within our families.